I am a Christian. It informs my worldview and helps me in being patient and a forgiving person because I am aware of the forgiveness of sins, both future and past, that came with my acceptance of Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Christ. All my life I have heard, I can expect to be persecuted for my sins, except, honestly, it really doesn't happen. In actuality, the world, since the Roman Empire, actually has been built for me. And sadly, this fact that humans have used the word of the Lord and the interpretation of the Bible and that intent for their own means that I must understand and own the discomfort of my own Christian hegemony. Today's topic for the Inclusive Activism Podcast is Christian hegemony. So, welcome back to the podcast. So, I'm really excited because today we will get to no less than two different voicemail messages, which sadly will also leave the voicemail chamber empty for us here at the Inclusive Activism Podcast. At this time, we have roughly 402 total listens, which also means by the time you're listening to this, I'm hoping we're well past 500, maybe 600 listens at the time you actually listen to this. And you know, if I'm honest, I sort of get worried about the podcast from time to time. I have no idea how to grow an audience, and the only hope that I really have is that by at least creating high quality content, at the very least, I will get people that come back to listen over and over again. But that is where, too, I really, deeply, badly need you, my dear friend, my good listener, one of those green shoots of opportunity. So thank you so much for downloading again. And if you are willing, please share this podcast with a like-minded friend, someone that might want to learn a little bit more about diversity and inclusion, or someone that might be interested in personal leadership or finding ways they can be their best selves. I really, really need those referrals, because those referrals are going to get me to the place I'm hoping to get to, where there's more community, where there's more voicemails. And if you know me at all, you know that I try my best to get out there and help as many different people as possible. And people will ask me all the time, well, Rowdy, how can I help you? This is it. This is the way you can help me. This is going to be my undertaking for the foreseeable 2017, and I'm hoping to, if we get past 100 listens to each podcast, I think I'm going to go ahead and continue into 2018, but I need your help. This is where I need you. So please share this with someone you care about. Please review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Pocket Casts, or Last.fm. Those reviews are how I will become more visible, and others will then join the community to help us all come together to get better for one another. And please, 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 for the love of goodness, call the voicemail line. I am still feeling really weird about talking to myself in a room while my partner and my dogs are in the other room, kind of just hanging out with each other. So please leave me a voicemail so I have something to respond to, so I have something to talk about a little bit more as far as what this community will look like when we create it together. My goal is to provide noteworthy, listenable content that at the end of the day is of help to you in your day-to-day life. Like I said, I'm committing through 2017, and I'd like to think that I can find a way to get this to kind of pay back to me beyond the book that I'm hoping to write, at least by 2020. But I've shared it before. I really do have some ego problems, and I really get scared that nobody's listening or that it's not good enough that people want to share it. So I need some help, and I am still planning on doing that Ego is the Enemy podcast in the near future. And obviously, I'm also checking the stats on the podcast from time to time and looking to see what I can find. Right now, that patterning is I get a pretty huge push the week of the release, but it really tapers off into the second week. And honestly, you know, if I get a little bit more viewership or listens, I guess, listens, shares, whatnot, I'll look at maybe releasing weekly podcasts in 2018. But again, this is the really exciting part. I'm here with you, which are my community, which have been here with me since day one or day whenever you got here. So thank you again for your listens. Thank you again for your calls. And please remember, when calling in, it's a Google voicemail line. So all it's going to tell you is the subscriber is not available. So just push past that, wait for the beep, leave me a message. It's so 80s right now that it's like voicemail line stuff. But I'm really excited about this opportunity for us to talk back and forth, and the opportunity to kind of talk and respond to your voicemails are something I'm really, really looking forward to. So moving on, proof of my activism. I try to do this in every podcast, where I've done good things and how I'm staying active in the community. I have finished and held the Comm 101 Student Mosaic Series with 38 student participants and 16 student facilitators for a total of 28 hours of diversity training. That mosaic stands for Maximizing Our Strengths as an Inclusive Community, and I was just really proud to see that group of students facilitate this material to other folks who really grasped the material, loved it, and really appreciated having a conversation about it. I also have since held a civil conversation series on the documentary White People from MTV and had a pretty good turnout with that. I was happy with that as well. I finished my training on equity and creating inclusive communities at the Kyrene Community Education Program, which was really cool because they're someone that's hired the Inclusive Activism Podcast to try to bring the power of inclusive activism to their organization. And it really felt good to sit there and go over that stuff and kind of teach some people some things. I also delivered a mosaic training to staff and faculty for the Maricopa Community Colleges. I did some service at the Tunnel of Oppression, which was a huge hit at Phoenix College. I heard they served like 600 something people that day, and it was just amazing to see how many groups and clubs came together for that amazing event. And then I also held the first meeting of Paradise Valley Community College's Leadership Advisory Council to create a leadership certificate at the school that I work. So I'm really excited to see that group help Paradise Valley Community College get a little bit more leadership recognition. So as far as self-care, I've been doing pretty good recently. Definitely lifting at least 4 times a week. My cardio is 3 times a week. I'm getting kind of back on top of that now that things are kind of slowing like down. I finished my flag football league, which was fun. Unfortunately, we lost in the first round of the playoffs. We had some injuries happen in that game, but that was really good to kind of get back on there. My mindfulness is happening at least 3 times a week. Again, I wish I could really work on that presentness a little bit there, but you know, all good things come in time. I had my first free weekend with my partner in a while, which has been really good. And then I'm also reading a book on, it's called Man Interrupted by Dr. Philip Zimbardo, and it is examining the problem of unexamined masculinity. Yeah, that's how I'm staying in action. Now, on to Christian hegemony. Now, I will tell you that I do borrow most of the information from this podcast by a book by Paul Kivel named Christian Hegemony. So if you want to get in this into much more detail, there's a book that you can read. It helped me as a guide, and it can definitely teach you quite a bit about this topic. So the obvious first question is, what the heck is Christian hegemony, and what does this have to do with inclusive activism? So Kivel defines Christian hegemony as the everyday systemic set of Christian values, individuals, and institutions that dominate all aspects of U.S. and at times Western society. Virtually nothing is unaffected. That's deep, huh? So Christian values, individuals, institutions spread throughout an entire culture and in small, subtle ways influence and affect everyone within that culture. To break that down a little bit more, I wanted to talk about what is hegemony. So when I looked up what hegemony was, I looked up what hegemony was really like generally on Wikipedia. So this isn't Christian hegemony, this is hegemony specifically. The Marxist theory of cultural hegemony, associated particularly with Antonio Gramsci, is the idea that the ruling class can manipulate the value system and mores of society so that the view becomes their own worldview. In Terry Eagleton's words, Gramsci normally uses the word hegemony to mean the ways in which a governing power wins consent to rule from those it subjugates. Whoa, sorry about that. Tank just busted in on us with the podcast. He apparently has some thoughts on hegemony that he wants to share. So, again, Gromoski normally uses the word hegemony to mean the ways in which a governing power wins consent to rule from those it subjugates. In contrast to an authoritarian rule, cultural hegemony is hegemonic only if those affected by it also consent to and struggle over its common sense. Now, when we look at the idea of cultural imperialism, the leader state dictates the internal politics and the societal character of the subordinate states that constitute the hegemonic sphere of influence, either by an internal sponsored government or by an external installed government. So, with Christian hegemony specifically, to break this down and make it a little easier to understand, we force alleged Christian values on others. An example of this is the political power which was used against LGBT marriage in the elections, the community that came together against Prop 8 in California, which was claimed to be a threat to Christian marriage, which kind of blows my mind because I don't understand that. If we're using that logic as Christians, then it would seem as though any marriage that was not a holy covenant between a couple and the Lord should be considered a threat to Christian marriage, right? Then that would be atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, shoot, any like non-Christian person, right? But there are certain groups that are targeted and sublimated by the moral majority, not at all which shows the effects of that Christian imperialism. So yeah, deep stuff with this Christian hegemony. It's where the ruling class starts acting out the wishes of the rulers. And so Christian values not only are put on us by Christians, but we also, if we're non-Christians, we also put these values out on each other unknowingly, not knowing where they come from and not knowing the value set behind those things. So secondly, why in the Inclusive Activism podcast am I telling you about that? I can tell you I'm really concerned about catching a lot of flack about this. Being that I possess a Christian identity puts me at like great risk. I do think I'm going to piss some fellow Christians off here, but I do it for a good reason. And the other thing too is, we'll get into it later, but I think if you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be persecuted by your own people. And that may potentially happen to me. But I've also found that so far my podcasts, which are a critique, are also way more popular than the ones that just explain ideas. Right now, the Liberal Elitism is the most popular podcast of all time. I think it's at like 70 listens, and that's like 18% higher over the Mandatory Self-Care podcast. And it's a 30% jump from that podcast to the You Cannot Compartmentalize Social Change podcast. So it could just be the fact that my audience actually really appreciates critiques. And for me, with my Christian identity, I honestly feel it's my duty to bow and bow deeply for how we, as Christians, have hurt non-Christian folks. I'm not the only person that's recognized this fact. Very, very popular and highly esteemed Christian author Philip Yancey also noticed how much the church has hurt other Christians and non-Christians in his book, Soul Survivor, How My Faith Survived the Church. I would also like to associate Christian hegemony more so with the church than Christ himself. As I am without a church family, my inclusive views and need to both believe in and recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, which I honestly and firmly believe makes me better than I am capable of being within my own power when I am service to others, is much more Pentecostal and Baptist in its belief origins. Those beliefs and values tend to come from really strict Christian backgrounds, but I also find that my need to both validate and affirm the ability of LGBT people to be in loving and committing relationships and love the Lord makes me finding a real true church home hard, if not impossible. There's nothing that I've really found in Phoenix. I do have some really close friends in San Diego, and I also like to listen to a podcast in Harlem, New York to kind of get fed, but it does hurt not being able to go to and have a Christian family. But given that I believe my role as a Christian is more about being in the world and being of service to those who are of a non-Christian identity, I do not attempt to tell people about the love of Jesus, actually. I attempt to share the experience of the love that I have with the Holy Spirit shining through me, and I hope to be so different, so special, that I'm shining love through me in such a paranormal way that people ask me about what makes me different and why I'm the way I am. That is when I choose to share how I've accepted Jesus within my life, how I feel Holy Spirit led, and this is a way that helps me be the man that I can be when I'm Spirit-filled. So I will be presenting this podcast to push Christians into owning their power and privilege and using their own worldview. The material in this podcast specifically is targeted towards Christians, although non-Christians are going to find it interesting because I'm sure even you may be blind to the... You may find the effects of Christian hegemonic views invisible to you. So my goal with this podcast specifically is to push Christians into being better Christians for other non-Christians within the world. Now, second, I also do it for non-Christians to help explain to Christians the great cost that all non-Christians have had extolled on them by their fellow humans. So I'm trying to give you a language in which you can talk to your Christian friends or Christian allies to understand the effects of Christian hegemony, because it is deep and far-reaching, and the more we understand this, the better. In America, Christian hegemony is almost invisible to anyone who is not of a Christian identity. But the effects of this Christian hegemony is honestly earth-shattering. So I want to go over a few of these ideas and concepts. Today, we're going to mostly be focusing on manifestations of Christian privilege within America or Western society. So in short, this stuff is everywhere. The calendar is a Christian calendar. Many public days off that are taken off by the government, but they're taken off by the garbage people, recycling, post office, government buildings. Think of these days off. Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving counts because it was the pilgrims, right? New Year's counts too because it's off the Roman Christian calendar. St. Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Columbus Day. Again, Columbus was a Christian coming to spread the word of God to the heathens in the New World. Halloween. Even though Halloween is avoided in its recognition with its association with pagans and harvest celebrations, the fact that it's damned in the way that it is also still means that it's a Christian holiday. The 4th of July, all right, God bless the USA. There's references to God on money. There's references to God in the Pledge of Allegiance, on our national seal, and our songs about America, how pretty much every building is closed on Sunday. We extol the benefits of Christian values in the Boy Scouts, in Girl Scouts, in 12-step programs. There's a lot of Christian control over many hospitals, clinics, health services. We see Christian symbols in very public places. We see the cross, we see the Ten Commandments in public buildings. There's the use of Christian prayers and songs that are over public meetings. There's references to being in America as being a God-fearing nation or a Christian nation. And also large amounts of wealth, buildings, lands have been owned by and kept by Christian organizations. We also accept the Vatican in listening to them and their opinions on world affairs. So next I'm going to read a checklist of you of different manifestations or ways in which you are affected by Christian hegemony from the book by Paul Kivel. So again, this is going to be off on page 13. So here we go. So this is a living in a Christian dominant culture checklist. And what it says is, please check any of the following that have or have ever applied to you. You attended church regularly. You attended Sunday school as a child or attended church periodically, i.e. during Christian holidays. You attended a Christian-based recreational organization as a young person, such as a church-based summer camp, or participated in a program of non-religious youth organizations that are based on Christian beliefs, such as the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts. You were told by a Christian or Christian authority figure, such as minister, priest, teacher, parent, or public official or counselor, that things you do with your body, like sex with yourself or others, are sinful. You were told by such an authority figure that sexual acts other than intercourse between a man or a woman, or sexual orientations other than heterosexual, are sinful. You were instructed by Christian or Christian authority figures to learn that women are unclean or are a source of temptation or evil. You have heard that heaven slash good described as light or white, and heard hell slash evil as described as dark or black. You have been told something you did was either evil or sinful, or that you yourself were evil or sinful. That people around you or in the surrounding culture use a Christian theological either-or framework of good slash evil or white slash dark or sinner slash saved. You've been approached by family members, friends, or strangers trying to convince you to become a Christian or a Christian of any particular kind. You have been rejected in any way because you are not Christian or not Christian enough. In your community, the church is a major center of social life, influencing those around you, and it is difficult to avoid. You have taken Christian holidays such as Christmas or Easter off, whether you practice Christian holidays or not, or have taken Sunday off, or think about it in any way as taken a day of rest. You have been given a school vacation or paid holiday related to Christmas or Easter when school vacations or paid holidays for non-Christian religious celebrations, such as Ramadan or Jewish high holidays, are not observed. The Christian institutions you use, such as office buildings, banks, parking meters, the post office, libraries, or stores, are open on Fridays and Saturdays but closed on Sundays. The calendar you use dates the birth of Jesus and is divided in two segments, one before his birth and one after it. You have seen a public institution in your community, such as your school, hospital, or city hall, decorated with Christian symbols, Christmas wreaths, Christmas trees, Jesus or nativity scenes, or crosses. If you wanted to, you could easily find Christian music, TV shows, movies, or places of worship, but not find those as easily of other religious groups. You can easily access Christmas or Easter-themed music, stories, greeting cards, films, and TV shows at the appropriate times of year. You've received public services, medical care, family planning, food, shelter, or substance abuse treatment from a Christian-based organization or one marked by Christian beliefs or practices. Examples of this are Alcoholics Anonymous, 12-step programs, pro-life family planning, hospitals, etc. You daily use currency that uses Christian words or symbols such as In God We Trust. You have received an educational, job training, job, housing, or other opportunity where Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, and other non-Christians were screened out or screened against or discriminated against in any way. You've been told or taught that war or invasion, either historical or current, was justified by those who were attacked because they were heathens, infidels, unbelievers, pagans, terrorists, evil, sinners, or fundamentalists of a non-Christian religion. Your foreparents or ancestors were subject to invasion, forced conversion, or proselytizing by missionaries as part of colonization, either in the U.S. or from another part of the world. In your community or metropolitan area, there have been hate crimes against Jews, Muslims, gays, people who are transgender, women, or others based on the perpetrator's Christian beliefs. You have attended non-religious functions, such as civic or governmental meetings, which were convened with blessings, references, or prayers. You have been asked to or commanded to sing or recite in public material with Christian references, such as the Pledge of Allegiance, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, or America the Beautiful. You have heard the U.S. referred to as a Christian or God-fearing country. As a young person, you read or were told to read Christian-themed stories even though you did not identify as such. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Last of the Mohicans, Little House of the Prairie, Dr. Doolittle, Babar, The Indian in the Cupboard, or any Grimm's Brother-based fairy tales. You or young people you know have played video games in which white people colonized, attacked, killed or converted darker-skinned people. Games in which women were physically brutalized or sexually insulted are games where there were implicit stereotypes of colonial domination. You have viewed Christian-themed movies not identified as such, such as Star Wars, The Matrix, The Lion, The Witch, and the Wardrobe, or Avatar. You've ever thought of yourself as a non-Christian or not religious, but then when you reflect on it, realize you had a Christian in upbringing or have been influenced by Christian rituals or values. You have had feelings of discomfort, reluctance, fear, or defensiveness in talking about how much of an impact Christianity has had on you or your society. Now, I'm sure after reading this checklist, you've noticed the wide array of these indications. Notice how serious some of these are. Also notice the near invisibility of others and how secular some of them seem. Finally, notice any feelings that any of them, or all of them, together brought up. It might be useful to talk to other people about your thoughts and feelings. Now, another way Christianity really affects us a lot, and if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I believe the way that we communicate is a big way in which structures get reproduced. Language is the way prejudice becomes synthesized by the public. The use of Christian language is something that points out what has value and what has been devalued in a culture. So, for example, ancient burial sites of indigenous people will be renamed to notions which support dominant Christian ideology. And a local example of this is the Elkhorn Mall in Tucson, which is built either on or in close proximity of the people of Olhon. And a road has actually been named Olhon Way, but no one really knows that road. What they really know is the Elkhorn Mall, which is short for El Conquistador, the genocidal Christian maniacs who actually helped to eradicate the Olhon people. Another way in which we see Christian hegemony manifest is the reframing of who's considered original Christians. So let's face it, the people in the Bible were some really dark brown people. They were either West Asian, North African Jews, or Arabic people. But in dominant Christian representation, there are no brown or black Jesuses. The Mother Mary is also framed as blonde hair, blue-eyed. This reframing of how and who original Christians must have looked like reinforces the idea that Christians are white, not people who they would have historically had to have originally been. Plus, think about it, if these people were all white back then, we would have had to have some historical representation that Jesus was white or the Mother Mary was white, because they would have been the only white people in the area at that time. So I'm pretty sure most of the time you really don't think about how often you know someone with a Christian name, but Christian names are virtually ubiquitous in our society. Most of the time, if you know someone, and if it's their name, a lot of times it's a Christian name. We also see Christian hegemony manifest in the othering, right? So this is how unexamined Christian thinking labels people as others, right? Muslims, Jews, homosexuals, heretics, pagans, aside from the fact that Christian symbols and holidays are plagued with pagan references all the time. I mean, when you think about it, there's no reason that there should be a bunny or eggs anywhere near Easter. Women are always portrayed as lust objects who need protection and have no self-control since the days of Genesis. The sick are framed as sick due to the Lord's righteous judgment, lepers, and in the 80s, AIDS was seen as sent from God to wipe out homosexuals. So this othering of non-Christians is one of those things that happens a lot in Christian hegemony. You'll also notice the assumed morality of Christians. Christians are automatically seen as moral or credible. Christians are often framed or even seen as less sinful once they accept Jesus. There is only a narrow range of acceptance of very natural sex relationships, and these limited certain acts can only happen specifically between a man or wife, or these ideas are framed as perverted or gross. There's an assumption of truth or fair play when dealing with a Christian person or interacting with a Christian business. Historically, Christians were only seen as valid witnesses, and those patterns still actually will play out in jury selections to this day. Even criminals who use Christianism as a shield for patterns of domestic violence and rape don't really get pushed back on by the greater Christian community, even though that association of Christianness with those people should really be kind of an anathema to them and something they really push back on. When you swear into office or you tell the truth in court, you always do it on a Bible. And when you think, what does that have to say to those who live in our country, even though we say this country is about freedom of religion, when they have to swear on a Bible to actually trust that they're telling the truth? We also get tons of examples of Christian privilege. In America, if you want to get elected to office, you better be Christian. And if you want to tear someone down, all you need to is attack their association with Christianity. You saw that happen again and again with President Obama. It was funny because when he first began running for office, they were really concerned by his hyper-radical black preacher who was Christian at the time, until he actually got into office and then he became Muslim and everyone really wanted to pull him down. Power and wealth and privilege have been amassed under people with connections to Christianity. Think of how many business relationships are fostered within the church and how these relationships can really exclude any outsider to that church. Our Christian dominance makes oil, coffee, tea, sugar very, very cheap for us because of our connections with countries which had been associated with missionary dominance. We also get to run and claim persecution when any notions of Christian privilege are challenged, and that's pretty handy. Though I don't think that's the persecution that Jesus was really warning about. And finally, this is going to be a three-part series on Christian hegemony. So I wanted to give some examples of first how this stuff manifests. And if you're a Christian and if you're hearing this and if you're feeling attacked, remember, I'm one of you. I'm not trying to attack you. It's just a challenge to dominance can feel like an attack when you've been told that you're going to be persecuted. I want us to collectively stop for a second and think about how we place all our values and traditions on others. When I read the Bible, and more directly when I look at what Jesus says specifically and how he places us and how we're supposed to live our lives out in the service to others, I don't see him putting religious values on other people. More to the point, I see him calling out others who claim to be followers of God to live out his love specifically and not according to the rules. More so, to the heart of the aim of the rule. We are supposed to act that love way out. We are supposed to be the love in the world specifically because of our religion. Not to say that other people aren't, but that's what's supposed to make us different as Christians. And others may choose to adopt those rules and practices if they see the love coming from us, but we can't judge them until they do. And with Christian hegemony, I'm really failing to see the love in our overbearing Christianness, in which we saddle others with our values and our rules. We just put those values on someone who doesn't even see or feel the point in that rule, and then it just makes them shut down and close down and close off from us, not want to associate. And that makes sense, but we've gotten so used to seeing the world from our own worldview when we finally do see it and we finally recognize this unbelievable Christian empire we've built. We don't notice the effect that it has on people. And when someone comes in and just pushes people aside in this oafish way in which we win over or try to impose our values and thinking from others, it's just all too easy for us to not recognize what has happened to that person. We shrink into our sense of persecution rather than push ourselves to be better people. And in my opinion, again, this is just my opinion, if we were really to listen to the words of Christ and follow the teaching he has laid before us, I think he would much more likely have us face the fact that we are upholding a system of hegemony, and that might come in the form of persecution in others. Remember, when Jesus was put to death, it was his own people that put him to death. It was sanctioned only in any real way by the Jewish religious state at that time. Rome had wanted nothing to do with his death. And if we are really to experience the persecution that we are so warned of, I think that it's honestly going to come from Christians who think we should act the way these hegemonic ideals tell us to. Persecution's probably going to come to us from fellow Christians that we challenge to act out in living more Christ-like lives. That's where I think the persecution's going to come from. It's not going to come from us placing church thinking on our fellow humans. So in review, The major points of today's podcast were: what is Christian hegemony? Again, to remind you, it's the everyday systemic set of Christian values, individuals, and institutions that dominate all aspects of the U.S. and at times Western society, and almost virtually nothing is excluded. There are many different manifestations of Christian hegemony in our world, but we get so used to them that it's hard to even see them from time to time. And lastly, we need to change as Christians, and we need to change the hegemonic Christian practices that happen that keep us from practicing the love of Christ to other non-Christian folks. We need to change this stuff. We need to do something about that because it's not fair and it's kind of gross. And with that, we're going to move on to the voicemails.
Hi, Rowdy. This is Amelyn Castro, and I just wanted to give you a call. First of all, to congratulate you on this wonderful creation of service.
Well, thank you very much for that, Amelyn. I really appreciate the fact that you would call in and tell me you're appreciating that.
Definitely using your passion and your expertise in diversity and inclusion for contributing more to the community. I think it's beautiful action on your part to provide this for your community. The information that I wrote down, kind of note takings as I was listening to, were on a couple of areas. The first one is, I love the flow of your podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Amelyn. I really appreciate the fact that you're enjoying the flow. I try to make it like we're kind of having a fireside chat. I mean, I've got my oils and stuff burning. I got this really beautiful, like, amber, cracked, smell-good stuff going on. But I want to have it be very conversation-like, and the fact that you're willing to call in and tell me about that is very, very much appreciated. So thank you for calling in, Emily. So with that, I just noticed I don't have the other podcast, the other voicemail with me. So I'm only going to get to one voicemail in this, but don't worry, I'm going to be coming out with new content very soon. So again, if this made you think of something, or if you're offended and super pissed as a Christian and you're like, whoa, bud, I don't appreciate that at all, and you have a shocking critique, please let me know. You can call me at 860-576-9393. Again, that is a Google voicemail number, and all it's going to say is the subscriber that you're trying to reach is not available, and then it will beep. So again, give me a call to my Google voicemail line at 860-576-9393. And if you know a lot about Google voicemail, tell me about how I can actually have a greeting on there, because that would be really great. So the voicemail line is a place for you to talk to me, to hit back with questions, to tell me about scenarios, or tell me about a podcast that you really enjoyed. And depending on how interesting or in-depth your detail is, I can actually make it a first-take response, or I might make it a future podcast. My mother sent me a text message, which I need to have her leave as a voicemail, because she is interested in me doing a ramifications of diversity and inclusion with artificial intelligence, which is very interesting. And lastly, if you are so interested and would like to bring me in and the power of inclusive activism to your organization, you can always do so at inclusiveactivism@cox.net. That's inclusiveactivism@cox.net. Or you can learn about me or the organization a little bit more at www.inclusiveactivism.com. That's www.inclusive.act. There's no dot. You can learn more about the organization at www.inclusiveactivism.com. That's inclusiveactivism.com. And we'll be seeing you at the next podcast. So thanks so much for tuning in. Rate us on iTunes, rate us on Last.fm, rate us on Stitcher. Call the voicemail line. Let's make sure we're having a community with this, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.